Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for your instruction, your directions. Thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your grace. So much better than words. We magnify you today, Lord. We glorify you. We pray that you've been pleased with our praises and with our worship. We pray, Lord, that you will visit us with your truth and speak to our hearts as only you can, and touch me to get out of the way so that I won't be seen or heard, but that you, Lord, will be seen and that you will be heard. And I pray, Lord, that you touch those that hear, that they might also get out of the way, so that we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. In the wonderful name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. You know, John had been banished to the island called Patmos. And he was banished there because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I imagine he kept telling people about Jesus and continued to pray in Jesus' name and continue to deliver people from evil and probably casting out demons and all kinds of things. And they're like, this boy's got to go. He's messing up business. He's messing up commerce. And, you know, and so they banished him. They put him out. On the Lord's Day, that is a Sunday, John was in the Spirit. And Jesus visited him and called himself Alpha and Omega. So it would be good to know what in the Spirit is, because when he was in the Spirit, Jesus showed up and started talking to him. He commissioned John to write the testimony that he called the revelation of Jesus Christ. The seven churches of Asia were addressed. The scenes of heaven and its inhabitants were identified. The throne of God was described, and the book with seven seals was introduced. That book could not be opened by anyone that was there. Only Jesus, the Lamb as it had been slain, was the only one that could open the seven sealed book. The seven sealed book was unsealed, and on the seventh seal there was 1/2 hour of silence in heaven. And John saw seven angels, and each of these angels was given a trumpet, and each angel was to blow his own trumpet. And each time they did, a different consequence took place. Something happened. First, 1/3 of the trees and all green grass was burnt up. The second, 1/3 of the sea was turned to blood. The third, 1/3 of water was made bitter. The fourth, 1/3 of the sun and the moon and the stars were darkened. Means 1/3 of the day was not lighted, and the night likewise. Revelation 8:13 says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The sixth angel sounded in Revelation 9:1, and John saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened it. The terrible creatures that came out of the pit were given power to torment men for 5 months, but not kill them. But the men would seek death, and death would evade them. You're doing pretty bad when you start seeking death. Yeah. I've been sick before, but I hadn't been that sick. Mm. I've been hurt before, but I hadn't been that hurt. Mm. I know I needed relief. So to the doctor I'd go. You see? But when the doctor say, man, I can't help you. We've got nothing on the shelf to help you.
Whoa.
You are on your own. These men were so tormented that they wanted to die. They wanted death. And death evaded them. They could not die. No matter what they did, they could not bring about their death. If they shot themselves, they still missed the mark. They just lay there in their blood. All of it. Drained out and it's still laying there. If they hung themselves, the rope would break. Or would they just hang there and kick it, but still alive? You name it. They poisoned themselves. The poison just would not, it would not take full effect. Might make them very sick, but it wouldn't kill them in that 5 month period. There was, death was suspended. It was suspended for 5 full months. Now, after the 5 months, I don't know, maybe they would have finally got relief, right? You know, a guy finally died. So I don't know, but I know 5 months of laying there in your blood. And you roll your eyes and you see all this blood. Well, that's mine and can't do nothing. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Death would evade them. That's pretty bad. The king of those that came out of that bottomless pit, his name was Abaddon in the Hebrew, but in the Greek his name was Apollyon. It means destroyer. The king of the inhabitants of the bottomless pit, the meaning of his name was the destroyer. Another definition said it was Satan, given the key to the bottomless pit. The next woe, the sixth angel, sounded, and more terrible creatures and deadly creatures were produced and given power to do hurt. They killed 1/3 of men by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone. Brimstone is sulfur. Fire, smoke, and brimstone, which came out of their mouths. Believe it or not, those men that were not killed still did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In chapter 11 of Revelation, the two witnesses came walking across the pages of the Bible. These were two super powerful individuals, and their power was devastating to men. They were irresistible. They were untouchable. No one could stop their testimony. If men tried to stop them with violence, these men were killed by the witnesses. They were God's witnesses. They were killed with fire from their mouth and plagues. They turned waters to blood, and they shut the heavens so that it would not rain for 3.5 years. That, y'all, is a drought.
Yeah.
3.5 years is a drought. No water. They shut the heavens. But when their testimony was complete, God allowed the beast, the Antichrist, to make war against them and kill them. No one would bury their bodies. They let them lay in the street. And they laid there for 3.5 days. The people celebrated their demise. They gave gifts to each other. They were happy. Finally, someone has overtaken these deadly witnesses. They were partying. Everyone saw their bodies. I imagine they had dead witnesses parties. Yeah, you got the screen and the dead witnesses are on the screen. You know, hey, thank God for Antichrist. Man, he's a man. If he can't do it, nobody can. But he could and he did. And they, dead body, who knows what was going on. I mean, but they were celebrating. They were having a ball that someone had finally taken over and killed the witnesses. Boy, but to their surprise, the Spirit of God entered into these men, stood them on their feet, raised them to life again, and caught them up to heaven. These people were filled with unsearchable fear. I mean, you think they were scared before. Oh my God, they were killed. Now they came back to life.
What?
Oh my goodness. They hated Jesus. Jesus died. But I didn't hear them say nothing when he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing from his enemies at all. What are you going to do to somebody that's raised from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
I know what you do. You stay out of his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stay out of his way. You hide.
Mm-hmm.
You witnessed against him. And yeah, they were scared to death. In Revelation 11:13 recorded an earthquake that killed 7,000 more men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Revelation 11:14, it says the second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. We look back at Revelation 8:7, it says this, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants and prophets. Seven angels, but on the seventh angel, when he sounds, the mystery of God, it says, will be finished that he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, as we look back again at today's scripture, which is Revelation 11:15, it says this, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At this point, there's a heavenly announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the announcement is that God and his son is about to take over. That's what that announcement. And he shall reign. And he shall reign forever and ever. The apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 15:24.
Mm-hmm.
He says, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father. He delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all authority and power. So there's coming a time when everything is going to be delivered to God the Father and put an end to all authority and all power. And while this all sounds promising, the sounding of the seventh trumpet actually symbolizes another set of judgments. Believe it or not, there's another set of judgments that's going to be spent off by the sounding of the trumpet. And this next set of judgment is called the seven bowl judgments. So the world will still have a way to go. We all know from the word of God that Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He has control, however limited, of the rulers and the authorities and the powers. He is going to organize and influence the nations to do evil. He's the one that causes men to do evil. He's the one that influences men to do evil. And he's still yet the God of this world. Yet before the tribulation period ends, God and his son will defeat them, take over, and transform the world for good. Folks always talk about wanting to make the world a better place.
Mm.
We can't make the world a better place.
Mm.
No matter how much and how hard you try, we can't make the world a better place. What we can do is what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what we can do. Go about and do good. And anytime we can, we heal those that are oppressed of the devil when God is with us. That's what we can do. But we can't make this world a better place, because this world is just flat bad. It's a bad place. It's a bad place. If you're in traffic, you better be careful in traffic. You better be nice. Do what you can. Don't cut people off. They will follow you because you cut them off. Blow their horn at you and tell you to pull over. Why you want me to pull over? I want to do bodily harm to you. Why? You cut me off. I'm sorry. You need to pay more attention. Jeez, man. Don't you make mistakes in traffic? Everybody makes mistakes in traffic. But you better be careful in traffic. For people will want to kill you because of a mistake that you make. You better be careful around people's goods. You see some of these nice, beautiful cars that they got shiny, and they got like a $15,000 change that they make to this car. They got those gangster wheels on them, and you know, the car stopped and the things keep spinning, and you know, you get dizzy looking at it. I tell you what, if you're smart, you won't walk close to that car. Because that's their God. You lean up against that car, you got trouble coming, man. You got trouble. They might kill you for touching that car. It's just a car. This is not a good world. This is not a good place. Satan is the god of this world. And he influences men to do evil. And men have many gods, and they have their thefts, and they have their sorceries, and they have their fornications, and they have the things that mean so much to them. A man will kill you for stepping on his shoes. Nice shoes. Man, that's been $700 for these shoes. He will do you bodily harm. People will kill you over a penny.
Well, yeah.
And they say it's not the money, it's not the penny, it's the principle. Hey man, here's a dollar, you know. They don't want your dollar. They want to do you bodily harm because of the principle. This is the way that you acted with my penny. That's the world we live in. So we are definitely in the world, but not of it. I don't believe in loaning money. If I got it, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
Because that's the best way to lose friends is to loan money. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
I loaned my brother money. Went on vacation. I had my wife, my little kids, and we ain't had but limited money. He gonna be back Thursday. Sure, he gonna get his check on Thursday. As soon as he gonna come straight over here. I didn't see that boy. I left town. I still didn't see him. Well, I saw him. I saw him, but when he saw me, he sped off. He sped off. My personal brother, whom I love with all my heart, he's going to be with the Lord now, by the way. You just don't bother God's people like that. I can't say God did that to him, but he's not here no more. And so just because of that, and I told my mama, I said, I'll never loan him another dollar. Oh, don't be like that. I said, I'll give it to him if I got it. But I'll never loan him because it broke my heart.
Yeah.
And it's because of that, I do not believe in loaning money. I'm telling y'all this. If I got it, I will give it to you. Because I want to keep you close. You know, I want us to remain friends. Because people will avoid you. Because they owe you money. You know?
I ain't got it today.
You know, used to come almost every day. Now you can't see them. You can't find them. You call them and they see your number. They send it to voicemail.
Oh,
that's this world.
Yes, yes.
That we live in, you know.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so that's my remedy, y'all. I live on a retirement income. I don't take money from this church. We can't afford to pay no salary. I live on a retirement income. I don't have money rolling in. But I'm doing okay.
Amen.
God is taking care of me. You
yes,
know,
yes.
You can say I haven't missed a meal. Can you tell by looking I haven't missed a meal? You know, if I miss a meal, I want to miss it, or I'm sick or something.
Amen.
But God takes care of me. So if you want something, don't bring me a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have something, you know. You know, you know, I have money now, but you know, but don't do that. Just, if I got it, you got it.
Amen.
I think that's how it should be. You know what I mean? Yes. I'm just loaning money. We family, you know. If I don't got it, I just don't got it. But I'll try to get it, you know. Amen.
Amen.
I had to tell y'all that because that came to me this week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just as important. It's important, you know. Because I've loaned people money and they're not here no more.
Mm-hmm.
See? Was coming doing fine. Loaning them money, they're not here no more.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's sad.
You lost,
yeah, right. You know why? Because, and I didn't say I loaned it. They say loan me. So I didn't say nothing. I'm here. And shoot, why did I do that? I should have, but it was, they caught me by surprise. You know? I didn't say nothing. I just say here. Anyway,
amen.
It's not a good world. God is good.
Yes, He is.
But this world. But you can do good, and I think you should go about doing good and help as many as you can as you go. But it's not going to change this world. Christ is going to change it one day.
Amen.
It's going to be under Him. And then it's going to be good. Then it's going to be a good world.
Amen.
But we can't make the world a better place. We can just spread good because there's enough evil to go around.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of evil. So let's do good. In Revelation 11, 16, 17, it says, "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." When I said earlier that when we talk about God and Jesus, we have to think other dimensional. Because they exist outside of time. And in Him, we exist in Him outside of time. Now, you might not have noticed as we're reading and studying through Revelation, but this thing is going from earth to heaven. It's showing earthly scenes. And then now we're looking at something in heaven. It keeps making that transition, see? And John is seeing earthly visions and talking earthly things. And then, you know, he's in heaven. He's seeing heavenly things. And so that's the kind of the tricky part about studying this book is that it changes those scenarios. It changes locations. Then it's back now. It's back up to heaven again, telling us after it told us about the things that happened on the earth and the horrible, terrible thing. Bam, it's in heaven, showing what heaven does. And so apparently there is a comparable action in heaven to things that happen on the earth. But there's a something that happens in heaven to significant things that happen that God is a part of that's happening on the earth. And so just know that heaven is active and there is activity going on. And I kind of think that it's related to us and what we do. Can my loved ones see me or hear me? Why not? I mean, I don't know, but. I just talked about my brother. I'm going to keep talking about him and whatever the Lord bring up to talk about. I'm going to talk about him. Oh, they dead. They can't answer for themselves. Yeah, shut up. You know, people, mean, nasty people die and they go to the funeral. They say, "Well, dear departed brother, he was a jerk, man. That boy wasn't no good." And they get up and they try to make him look so good and say all these nice flowery words about him. Mm. And folks look around, who are you talking about? That's not the man I know. You know, he was no good. He was no good when he lived and he died no good. I know a man now, he dead and I still don't like him. I still don't like him. Him dying did not make him good and holy, y'all.
Amen.
If he was a rascal when he lived and died a rascal, he was a rascal, y'all. Now I'm not going to do that at a funeral. You know, y'all did. I ain't going to do that, you know, but preachers can, you can't do that at a funeral. But I mean, you know, we're talking, I mean, in real conversation, you know, listen, this person, this is the life they live. You see? And so, I don't know. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me, you know.
I get,
y'all been there? Oh, yeah. Some rascal, yeah, see? But I do have a good, you know, I was telling my testimony when I backslid and came back, and my father-in-law offered me a drink. And I said, no, I'm done with that. I'm through with that. And he said, okay, we'll see. And I said, yeah, we will see. And I never took another drink with him. And when I was listening to that message that we did, when I gave that example, I remember Christmas, the man handed me a cross as a Christmas gift. So he was watching. And he did see that I never took another. And when I was listening, I said, wait a minute, he gave me. That's the end of the story, right? He did see. And he came in and presented me with a cross. It looked gold. It wasn't a real gold, but he gave me a beautiful cross. Well, thank you. It kind of all came together. That's the other part of that story about him offering me a drink and, you know, the confrontation that he realized over time. Yeah, he is serious. You know, he is serious. So people are watching. They're not saying anything, but they're watching. Sometimes you're the only Bible they'll ever read. It's your life.
Amen.
So you got to know that you are a witness, whether you open your mouth or not. You are a witness once it's known that you claim Christ as your Savior. You are a witness. They're watching. And you got to know that. You're affecting lives around you. You're affecting children, these young children. They're watching. You know? So, hallelujah.
Amen.
So heaven responds positively to that announcement that the Father and the Son was going to be taking over. Now, from this point, Satan's days are going to be drawing quickly to a close.
Amen.
When that announcement comes that they are taking over, his days are pretty much numbered. And Jesus will begin to exercise the authority over the nations that became his when he died on the cross. His conquering actions to overcome evil will usher in what is known as the millennium, that is the thousand-year reign of Christ. If we're going to spend 1,000 years with Christ, that means that we don't have any issue with death. We shall have been changed to be like him. And that's in our future, to live with him for eternity. And listen, God has already raised us up and caused us to sit together with him in heavenly places right now. But we got to learn to think of the dimensional. I think we limit ourselves by our thinking. But we are in Christ. He is in us, y'all.
Amen.
We're in a whole nother dimension of existence. And we're just stuck in these bodies. They're sort of holding us here. But once these bodies drop off, then we'll become the true essence of him. And we'll be like him. But we're still in him right now. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by the truth of God's word and not by things that confront you on a regular basis. You say, wait a second, who am I? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can overcome this. I don't have to be overcome by that because I'm in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to give in to unrighteousness. We have authority. We have power. We've got power over the evil We have power over demonic forces. We don't need to be afraid of demons and devils. Satan is a worthy adversary, yes, but Jesus rose victorious over him and all of his power.
Amen.
And we are in Christ.
Yeah.
And so, when a Christian says that the devil did this to me, and the devil did that to me, how is that so? How does the devil overcome you when Christ overcame the devil?
Amen.
And you are in Christ.
Amen.
How is that so? So we're not being honest with ourselves. The truth is, you the devil. When you designate something that's overpowering you or overtaking you, you're the devil. You know, that man, that woman, boy, she does something to me. You do something to you.
Amen.
It's you that's doing it. She worked a spell on me. No, you worked a spell on yourself. Y'all?
Yeah.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
You're attributing all of this power to this another person. Wow, man, I don't know what you do to me. Nothing. You do it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You love her. You love her. Oh, man, she's really working a thing on my... We lie. Oh, man.
Amen.
A man hits a woman and says, see what you made me do?
Oh, man.
How she made you do that? You did it. Are y'all here?
Yeah.
Can I keep going or do I need to move on or what?
You just stay right there.
Look.
That's called the police. I ain't playing.
Look. The demons can't make you do anything. You may succumb to that. You might listen and cooperate. And your flesh man cooperates, because one thing is your flesh man is familiar to the world. Y'all, your flesh man loves this world.
Amen.
You love this world, man. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's a part of you that loves this world.
Amen. Amen.
You love the glitter. You love the glamour. You love the glam. You could say, you know, I used to be with a group of people that used to sing silver and gold. Sound beautiful. They would harmonize. Silver and gold, silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I said, y'all lie. lie. And then they always got the hand out. You were lying, you know. They sound good, but they're lying. They'd rather have silver and gold, and Jesus can come along. So, our natural man, y'all, listen, y'all, Satan has an agent in you.
Amen.
He's got an agent that lives in you. Your flesh man is an agent of Satan. That's why he's got to be crucified.
Yes, he does.
So that the enemy can't have a place in you. That he won't come in and put the key and turn the key and come in and take a seat. And start, turn on the computer and start working things in your life. He has an agent in you. That's what Paul said. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin. With my mind, the law of God. And so there's a part of you that serves sin if you let it.
Amen. Amen.
And when a Christian keeps talking about, man, that devil's so busy. Every time I want to do thus and such, the devil gets busy again. That old devil, that old devil, that old devil, which is the same thing in the garden. Adam, where are you? Well, I heard your voice and I hid myself. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree? Well, see, the woman, she ate and she gave to me. And he said to the woman, what have you done? She said, oh, the serpent.
Blame.
Pointing away from themselves.
Blame.
Adam was guilty of eating the tree. The woman was guilty from eating from the tree. But both of them did not accept guilt. They pointed away to themselves. It was her. It was the serpent. That's what they did. And we, if we're not careful, will do the same thing. Man, that devil, every time I turn around, that devil, we're pointing away when the issue is on the inside.
Amen.
No man is tempted when he is tempted, but that he is not tempted of God. He is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. His own lust. Y'all hear that?
Yes.
No, the devil tempted me. No, wait. The scripture says that when you're tempted, you're drawn away of your own lusts and enticed. Okay? So look, I mean, everybody get tempted. I get tempted. You, everybody get tempted. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about recognizing what's really going on so you can deal with it properly. As long as you don't admit that I got an issue, you are not going to deal with this issue.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Man, the devil just strong, man. He's just so strong. Where is he? Show me.
Yeah.
This devil you always talking about, show me. Where is he? I want to see him. Because he's so popular, somebody please show me this devil. No one ever shows the devil up. He doesn't show up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they're always talking about what the devil's doing, but he never shows up. Because he's got an agent in us. Listen, you can't do nothing about the agent being in you. We're born like this. But as a Christian, you have the authority to crucify the man of the flesh. And you crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts of it. Because when you're tempted, you're not tempted by God. You're drawn away of your own lusts and enticed. And so we must crucify him with the affections and the lusts of it. In other words, you tell him no. You cut him off. It's not that easy, but you cut him off. He's going to make you think you're going to die, but you're not going to die. You cut him off. Like I'm going to cut off this message right now. I'm not going to preach no more on Revelation today because I think that God has got us where he wants us to be. And that we really need to take this thing seriously. Bible study, we were in 1 John. I forget what chapter. But we only went through a few verses. We could have gone all the way through, but the Lord stopped us when it was dealing with sin. And said, look, don't sin. That's what it was saying. Look, I tell you this, don't sin. So the Bible clearly says that you shouldn't sin. But if any should sin, you have an advocate. So God knows that you're going to sin.
Amen.
He said, don't do it, but if you do. So thank God for his butts.
Amen.
I like to say, get your butt out of the way and let God put his butt anywhere he wants to.
Amen.
So that's where he put his butt. Let God put his butt anywhere he wants to. So, but if any man should sin. And I thank God for that because he recognized the way that we're made. Our problem is that we don't recognize the way that we're made because traditionally We've been brought up blaming the devil. And he is to be blamed because he started this mess from the beginning. But he's already put the program in place and it's running on its own. The program is running. You know, it's running. It's right in us. And every time that thing is activated, it just like a computer. It go and check the mouse, it go check the keyboard, it go check the memory, it go check the C drive, it go check the programs and load everything up, and it sits there and blinks and say, now what is it that you want to do today? He's got a program worked and he reprogrammed Adam in the garden, and that's a different program than what God said. And so the program is there. But God tells us how to deal with that program. You crucified. You don't let him press or go or own you. You've got to learn to crucify the flesh. Otherwise, you're going to act just like everybody else that's not in Christ. You won't look any different than anyone else. Except they'll say you claim to be this. And that's what you have, is folks will be laughing at you. Because he claimed to be this, but I'm better than that. Unsaved people be saying that. I do better than that. No, I don't even claim God. They're supposed to be this and that. You know? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I done stopped preaching and really going to meddling, y'all. Well, Lord, I guess this needed to be said today. And we really need to be sober-minded about things and not pie in the sky and just thinking that things are something that they're not. Help us, O God, and forgive us where we've fallen and we've failed. And help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. To trust you, Lord, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. Teach us, Lord, to deal properly with our flesh and with our temptations. And not to deny that we're tempted, but to recognize the temptation and know that it comes from within us. That it is our temptation, it is our lust, it is our desire that drives us. And help us to be truthful with ourselves about these things so that we can deal with them and not continue to point towards some other force that's nowhere even in the room, but we are in the room. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Help us, Lord, to be honest and truthful with you. As a matter of fact, everybody, I'm going to pray for you right now. That God will touch you and help you to incorporate these very important truths in your life. And walk upright. And you don't have to get everything right all the time, but you must do it right. So Lord, I pray you'll look at all of our lives today and help us, Lord. And some of us are walking as upright as we know how. And some of us maybe not so much upright. But Lord, what we need is to be honest in our hearts with where we are in you. So that we can from that point start to walk with you. And to know that you are with us. That you do love us. And that you want us to be conformed to the image of Christ. But we can't be conformed if we deny who we are and where we are in this life. So that we can address issues that are stopping us from being properly transformed into his image. Help everyone here today, Lord, to be honest about where they are in life. And start from whatever point they are, and begin to walk from there. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you
for the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lord, for leading us in the manner that you have.
Thank you.
I do believe that we all needed to hear this.
Yeah.
And we all need these truths. And that we'll stop pointing at the devil. He is evil and he is to be blamed. But in you, Lord, we are new creatures.
Yeah.
And we're not subject to him as we were before. We don't belong to him and we're not in his kingdom.
Yeah.
We're in your kingdom, Lord. We belong to you. So help us, Lord, to walk and live in a manner as we should, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I say thank you,
thank you,
thank you, thank you for loving us enough to bring such a message as this. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all gonna be super saints.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, man.
My.
I had some earthquakes in my lane.